Hey there, foreigners. This is Rohit from BreakingTheBorders.com, home of the ambitious immigrants. Today's guest is Tomas Kolodziak. Did I say that right, Tomas?
Correct. You're the one.
The last name? Okay. Yeah, the first one. How do I say your last name? I'm sorry.
Kolodziak.
I knew I was going to butcher it. I confirmed before, but in spite of that, I ended up doing anyway. So I met Tomas at a Stanford class, and he told me how he was busy teaching a class at San Jose State. And then a week later, how he told me that he was collaborating with the professor of our class to help with the entrepreneurial ventures in Polish community. And then he kept on amazing me week after week with all the things that he does. And he's currently the co-founder of Intel Clinic, where he successfully launched a Kickstarter campaign for a sleep tracking device called NeuroOn.
Correct.
Do I say it as Neuron or NeuroOn? NeuroOn, right?
NeuroOn, yeah. Oh, it's true. So
NeuroOn. Perfect. So I invited him to learn about how he launched a successful Kickstarter campaign and honestly, how he manages so many things simultaneously in life. Tomas, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Good to hear you again, Rohit.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So, give me a quick background about your company and your product, what it does, and how it helps people.
Sure. So, we do what's called an intelligent sleep mask. So, a device for people, either busy travelers and professionals, or any millennials that want to hack their sleep. And by hacking, we call being able to adjust your sleep to your 21st century needs. This includes, being able to alleviate jet lag and the time you want to actually fall asleep and rest, and the time you want to be awake and on top of your games. So it's sort of a Fitbit for sleep, but on your face, and it tracks reliable signal, and it can also influence your sleep.
Mm-hmm. How about the biggest hack that I've heard of on sleep, which I've never tried, is being polyphasic. How about that?
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's where initially the Kickstarter campaign started, to allow people to sleep polyphasically with this device connected to a smartphone app. Since then, we've pivoted a little bit towards adjusting your circadian clock and being able to alleviate jet lag. So basically, adjusting you a couple hours per night by tricking your body that it's daylight, let's say, if you're traveling from San Francisco to Amsterdam.
I see. So is polyphasic still a part of what the device does, or you completely pivoted out of that?
It's part of kind of a dream, So polyphasic, first of all, it's very difficult to adjust to. Not everybody has biological capabilities to do so. So we still want to have that feature in the mask, kind of a secondary one. We just didn't want people to be disappointed that they couldn't do it because of their biological adjustment.
I see. You said not everyone is biologically capable. And I saw from your updates on the device that you did a lot of research collaborating with the scientific community as well. I want to get to all of that. But before I go there, I'm curious to know, Tomas, how was your life before Intel Clinic and before NeuroOn started? How was your life as a student?
It was pretty good. I started at the University of Warsaw in my home country in Poland, and then transferred to a Cal State. So California State University in San Jose, got a scholarship there, and was enjoying their student life pretty much.
Why did you move from Poland?
Well, Silicon Valley sounded really good, number one. Second of all, I interacted with some friends that went to school here and was able to get a scholarship. And initially, it was supposed to be 1 year kind of exchange. Ended up being a full program.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you just came to test out the American waters, so to speak, and you ended up being stuck.
Exactly. And, it was the easiest place to start a company. So everything kind of fell into place after graduation. Yeah.
So, how was it growing up in Poland? Was the culture very different from what we see here in the U.S.?
Probably a little bit more formal. I would say not as formal in as in Asian cultures, but definitely more formal than Silicon Valley. I guess a little bit less open than here, you know, in terms of the business culture, everybody helping each other. It's not as much that way there. It's changing, you know, the startup communities try to be similar. Yeah, a lot of drinking. It's that's where vodka originated. Poland is the home
country. A lot of drinking. Ah, nice. That's good. And a lot of the audience and listeners are immigrants, right? First generation. So I'm, and one of the things that I hear often is when someone moves to a new country like the US, there is a lot of culture shock and getting adjusted to this new way of living. Was there any of that for you?
Sure. You know, college is kind of a bubble, so it's I would say there's a lot of similarities in the U.S. and in Poland in terms of college. You know, I traveled quite a bit before to the U.K., all over Europe. It wasn't that bad. I was able to adjust. And plus, that university is one of the most diverse. So it's being able to connect with the international crowd as well.
I see. And that is where you found your co-founders as well, right?
Yeah, they're actually both Polish. I met them before, prior to college, and then they took a trip to San Francisco, and we connected more on this idea of creating a mask.
Yeah. How did this idea come to be when you were a student? Is sleep research something that you were invested in always, or how did this come about?
Yeah, so three of us, one guy was a medical student, and he was doing a lot of research in terms of sleep. Even during college in Poland, he was trying to hack sleep, trying to, you know, be able to, if you're studying for an exam, be able to study all night and then rest whenever you can rest. So,
what is his name? Is his Janusz?
Kamil.
Kamil, he's the CEO. Okay.
Correct. And Janusz was the CTO currently, so the technical co-founder. And he did his PhD in electronics. So started with a device, this clunky object that you put on your forehead that tracks brainwaves. And my background was business and economics. So I fit in as the non-technical co-founder.
So how did that idea come to be? So you guys, so Kamil had some hacking happen that he did personally in his grad school. And how did that convert into you starting a company with this idea?
Yeah, it was a small university grant for innovation, you know, a couple thousand euros to do some kind of project and you know, see if it even has legs. So you had to pair up with somebody from a different university, whether abroad or not. Definitely you needed, you know, and for our device, you needed a technical person. So we all combined, and it was Kamil, the medical university, Janusz at the Polytechnic, and me, econ/business. And from there, we took it outside of the university. We're able to raise some funds from a small venture firm, still in Poland. And then the next step was to take it to crowdfunding and see, you know, see what we can do with that, if people are interested in this project at all.
I see. So do you guys raised actual venture capitalist fund before you raised the crowdfund?
We did, but it's, you know, venture money in the European/Polish setting. So you know, it was about $150,000.
Okay, so it was not enough for you to launch the whole product by itself.
Right. So, in US, it's super seed, but they're very, very small.
I see. When I look at the traffic for your website, it suddenly soared. In December of 2013, it is significantly higher. I don't know the actual numbers. And then I later found out that that is the time you started your Kickstarter campaign, right?
Correct.
So even before you started your Kickstarter campaign, you were on BBC, TechCrunch, and Wired.
Yep.
Right? How did that happen?
So if I remember correctly, some of the news were during the campaign. Because we gave a lot of traffic and PR exposure. BBC was just a conference, and we were kind of the first ones, you know, doing something in area of sleep. We got a lot of interest, so I guess we were quite lucky. Somebody approached us from BBC, and you know, once you have BBC, that everybody else follows with the publications. And
So they approach you, is it?
during the campaign, we also won a European competition, first award for hardware project in Paris, Le Web. So Le Web, we got first prize, and this, you know, boosted all the funding and all the PR within the company. So that was a great help.
I see. How about ANA and Quanta?
Yeah, so that was long after. Through, you know, Le Web, we were able to get into the medical professionals, and that's how we established sort of the clinical tests for the mask. Qantas and ANA, so the airlines, we signed different partnerships with, and they're hoping to have first flights with the mask in Q2. So ANA, big Japanese carrier, we were actually trying to fundraise in one of the Japanese funds. And the partner of the fund, they told us no in terms of giving us money. But the partner of the fund was from ANA. ANA is a big LP in this fund. And he said, you know, these guys are not interested in terms of fundraising for, you know, whatever reasons. But we want to try it. We want to put it in the plane. I'll make all the introductions. So since then, we flew to Japan to the ANA headquarters. And been working on putting those devices into play.
Yeah, I see. So it is a collaboration, that opportunity that came up after you launched. So
yep.
you launched in the beginning of December. December the 9th or December the 3rd. By December 6th, you had a goal of 150K at that time. What was the goal when you first launched?
Yeah, I believe it was 150,000, yeah. And we
okay.
reached out within 24 hours of the campaign.
How did that happen? What did you guys do that you reached your goal so fast?
Well, it's a good question. You know, if you look at the video, it looks a little simple, especially, you know, looking at campaigns today on Kickstarter and Indiegogo. I guess we were very honest, you know, with saying, you know, this is us. We took it from the university. We really want to make this happen. We've got some good experience, good partners. Help us out. And people believed it. That's my take. And, you know, we were able to raise close to $500,000 on the crowdfunding platform.
Yeah, the day it closed, which is January 12th of 2014. How much
yeah.
did you raise by the end of it? $500,000?
Yeah, $500,000. $500,000 on Kickstarter, correct.
So now you have all these backers. I think that is close to 2,000 backers at this time, right? Of which a sizable portion are also trying to get the product. There are some people who must have backed you for the t-shirts and other goodies, not the product. How did it feel at that time to have this more than 1,000 people wait for your product?
That was amazing. You know, we were thrilled. That, you know, people really wanted, and we had enough funds to pursue it, hire people, and start from there. You know, the excitement lasted, you know, probably 2-3 days, and then we had to get to work. So we were excited to get that boost, but you know, you're not just happy. You need to deliver to all these people. So it was good motivation.
Yeah. Sorry. So at that time, when you had the Kickstarter campaign, you actually didn't have the product in hand, right?
We had various prototypes. They're very, very
oh,
different
you did. Okay.
From what you see now, the actual, you know, the product in the box.
Yeah. I was curious to know, how did you know what to charge for your product at that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kickstarter,
the
there's
campaign.
Different price points. If you look at the price now, $299, It's kind of at a price point of other devices. Philips also uses light therapy for adjusting you know, your sleep or helping you wake up. There's a device called Philips Wake Up Light. They charge roughly about the same price. There's different goggles that improve circadian clock. Nobody does it during the night, which turns out to be much more effective than you know, just wearing the light goggles during the day. And recently, there's been a lot of publications that, hey, somebody finally found a cure for jet lag and adjusting circadian mm-hmm. clock. And they published another study at Stanford saying this method that we've been using for the past 2 years, and we read it in, you know, different journals about, And suddenly it's this new buzz about it. These few articles, BBC, Wall Street Journal, The Economist, was published last week. So we're really happy that it's becoming mainstream finally. And you know, hopefully we'll see people be able to adjust themselves to the time zones they're going to with just a light mask. And hopefully it'll be our mask.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned that the technique that you use is becoming popular, right? So what is that? Can you share a little bit more about how you are controlling?
Yeah, so aside from tracking, so we do precise tracking. So the only device on the market that gets reliable signal from your forehead. So if you want to talk about sleep signals, you gotta pick it up at least from your forehead or attach different electrodes to your head. So all the Fitbits, Bezos watches, it's all from your wrist. So it's highly unreliable, basically, based on your motion. What we pick up from three electrodes on your forehead is your EEG signal, so your brain waves, your muscle tension, and eyeball movement. So we can very accurately detect which phases of sleep you are in, whether it's light, deep, REM, and NREM.
So what are the four different phases of life for someone listening who doesn't know what it is?
Sure. So the ones we track is light sleep, deep sleep, REM, and NREM. And for an average consumer, that might sound like something they're not aware of. But the reason we need it is to apply light. So here's the catch of the light therapy. So micro flashes, kind of like a flash of a camera, bright light during your sleep at the right phase to delay or advance your body clock. You know, speaking English basically means, you know, you go into a different time zone, you want to sleep at the time, at the 8 hour change, right? So you don't want to wake up at 4 a.m. and be awake all night. You want to adjust to your destination time zone much quicker. So we can shift you by a couple hours. So per night, we can trick your body and shift you around 3 hours, right? So if you're traveling East Coast, West Coast, if you wear the mask before flying, you're adjusted the next day. If you're flying 9 hour time difference, we can also probably fix you up by one night, two nights.
Okay. So there is a... How do we tell the mask to actually shift you?
Sure. The app side is very easy. You either input your flight information. So let's say you're flying San Francisco, Munich. So you put where you're going, automatically tracks the time zones you're changing. You just have to say what time you usually go to bed, what time you usually wake up, and it's changing your biological clock.
I see. And I used to use this device before. I agree with you. To start with, a lot of app-based trackers or Fitbit type of trackers are based on the movement of your body. You just have to keep it by the bedside and they try to measure how much you slept, which I found not very accurate. I was a very enthusiastic sleep tracker also. So I bought this device called Zio, which is not on market anymore. Do they use the same technology that you are describing here to track your sleep?
Yes, they do for tracking. The only change, you know, they didn't have the active component, so they didn't have the light therapy. And very, very cool company, raised about $30 million. I think they were too early for the market. You know, during Zio, the smartphones were just coming about. At the beginning, they just had a device standing next to your bed. But it was a band that you put on your forehead. So they tracked similar things we do. Since Zio, you know, the technology has gone a little bit further, so we track even more accurately than Zio. But definitely a good comparison.
So since you started, after you got your Kickstarter money, there are a lot of things that you had to figure out, right? Whether the design is right, whether the technology is right, whether it can be mass-produced, all of the things. So... how was that process of figuring out from the time of Kickstarter campaign to actually getting it to production?
No, you know, it was a long journey. And, you know, it's not just one app that we're creating. You know, it's kind of, if you compare it, maybe it's a silly comparison. If you compare it to, let's say, Zipcar, right? So Zipcar has to take care of the actual vehicles, the parking, the app, the monetization, all that kind of stuff. And that's true. If you do hardware, you got to look at all these components. And it's not just creating one app with certain feature. We had to have you know, the perfect design for people to be able to sleep and feel comfortable, we had to have an intuitive application on your smartphone. You had to have some medical trials to prove to people the efficacy of the product, that it's not just snake oil. It's not something, you know, you buy on these silly websites that, you know, do magic, basically. It's something that is backed with medical research. So all these components were quite difficult, and then you have to mass produce it.
How did you do the medical research?
The partner we have, medical partner, is Henry Ford Hospital, so the biggest sleep clinic in the U.S., down in Michigan. So we've done those. And the person we're working with is Dr. Christopher Drake. He's the head of the National Sleep Foundation.
What is a sleep clinic?
So it's, you know, part of the hospital that deals with all kinds of insomnia and sleep issues. So it's actually a hospital, and they have a really large facility. They've done a lot of research how light influences your sleep. The study we did, and it's currently actually taking place, still finishing, is involving 50 individuals and seeing how we can adjust their sleep to a shift worker sleep. So basically, you know, switching their sleep by 12 hours.
Yeah. And what is one thing that you collaborated with them on that you were able to prove research-wise?
To prove the shift just done with light. So the way they measure it, they take a sample of melatonin, and they take it from your blood and from your saliva, and they compare people that wore the mask and the people that didn't. And they also have a placebo effect. You know, people just wear the mask without the light and see what time they fall asleep, what time they start releasing melatonin, actually want to go to bed, and what time they would wake up with this with this device.
Yeah, I just want to clarify for someone listening that melatonin is the hormone that is produced in the body, which determines how much you are able to, or your circadian rhythm, which is when you sleep and you wake up. So it is a good proxy for when you will naturally feel asleep.
Exactly.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, correct. And circadian clocks are basically a 24-hour clock that dictates, you know, when you sleep. So when you start releasing melatonin, you start feeling sleepy, and then you flush out the melatonin from your body in the morning once you wake up. So circadian clock is regulated when you're hungry, when you sleep. So this rhythm of your body that happens in 24 hours.
So apart from the research aspect of proving it medically, what else was difficult about building your company?
Just getting into mass production. So even if you have a fully functioning prototype, how do you make at least 10,000? And 10,000 with enough margin that the business is profitable, right? And doing it for the first time, a lot of things.
So you're saying 10,000 units?
10,000 units.
How do you make 10,000? Why did you have to make 10,000 units? I thought it was only a few thousand, a couple of thousand people who bought the product on Kickstarter.
Yeah, so Kickstarter was 2,000, and then we sold another 3,500 units additionally.
Oh, okay. So you were selling it by yourself on the site as well, in the form of pre-orders.
Correct.
I see. I didn't know about... That's, and it seems like it was even bigger than the Kickstarter campaign, right?
That's right. Yeah, we beat the Kickstarter campaign after that. So people were excited about the product. And a lot of the pre-orders came from actually the Asian market. And Japan was a big one for us. And this sort of grew naturally. We started getting bloggers to talk about the product. And and then Japan became number one country in terms of sales for us.
I see. Why Japan? Why do you think Japan is so much interesting?
Yeah, at the beginning, if you look at the sales, we were wondering the same. And then we traveled there, and it turns out a lot of people already use light therapy. A lot of people have insomnia. A lot of people have trouble sleeping. They have the delayed sleep phase syndrome, so not being able to fall asleep for many hours and then waking up at night, something that is really easy for us to adjust. And also people use sleep masks, especially big cities like Tokyo. you know, they tested some of these type of devices, so became a big hit. And Japan is, you know, it's a weird market. Fitbit didn't really make it there. A lot of devices sold in the U.S., Europe, but Fitbit actually was a bit of a failure there. So they're kind of a different have a different focus, and we're still, you know, trying to figure out what these consumers want by picking up the first orders that we sold and seeing how people use the mask.
I see. How did you figure that Japan was a popular market to go to?
Well, we just looked at the sales, and it turned out people started ordering them in mass quantities.
I see. So you just opened it for all countries, and you saw it from the orders, actual orders, that Japan was higher.
Correct. Yeah. So it was very natural. And then we got approached by the Japanese national TV after all these blogging buzz. So we did a little video for the national Japanese TV, Nippon TV. We also were
what is it called again?
Nippon TV.
Vipom? How do you spell it?
NIPPON. Nippon TV.
Oh, Nippon mm-hmm. TV. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Nippon TV. We also had their so-called Wall Street Journal, so Nikkei publication, also featured us. Yeah, you know, the first partnership with the airlines was with ANA, big Japanese carrier.
I see. ANA already start using it? Like, how are you collaborating with them? Mm-hmm. What do you mean by collaborating with ANA?
Sure. So with ANA, you know, it's a big corporation. We've signed a letter of intent. You know, probably about 6 months ago, they were reviewing the effect of the mask. We shipped them multiple devices to test out. The idea is to have for business passengers and first class passengers a mask that they can wear. And this would be on the long haul flights. So you get on a plane and can use this device to basically trick your body that you're in a different time zone already.
I see. So they want to give it to their business class and first class passengers.
Correct. That would be a premium gadget that they could receive.
Got it. And you were doing all of this at Intel Clinic and Neuron while you were working full-time elsewhere also, right?
Yes and no. Well, at the beginning, you know, it was possible. I was helping with the Polish Embassy's contingent, the trade investment section in San Francisco. So basically helping companies establish their presence here. So at the very beginning, I was trying to do both, and then had to full-time commit to the startup life.
I see. You couldn't manage both, that you had to finally give up one and just hold on to one. Is that around March of 2015?
Oh, that was around, I believe, March. You know, beginning of 2015, end of 2014,
yeah.
when I switched full-time.
Yeah, I see a lot of changes in your LinkedIn profile. For example, you stopped being a professor at San Jose State University in 2015 early. You stopped your other job. So I was assuming something was going on. So what you're telling me is that it was getting very busy at building the sleep mask.
Right. Definitely. So that was a natural move.
So actually, when did you start shipping your production units?
We started shipping already a batch end of last year, but it was small beta testers just to see how people use it. You know, there's many bugs already still that needed to be fixing. So kind of a VIP program, people that want to be early adopters to get their mask out there. You know, and then we continued shipping with some delays, some stops. Just figure out the kinks in the manufacturing process. And now we're shipping roughly about 100 a day. So we're catching up to fulfilling all the orders soon.
Oh, nice. At this rate in 100 a day. So at this rate in a couple of months, you should finish all your backlog, I believe.
Right. Yeah. So we're trying to get the backlog out very quickly.
Nice. So the sleep mask is one of the products for your company for Intel Clinic, right? So do you have any other products that are in the pipeline for you?
We have a couple ideas, some prototypes, you know, nothing that we could really talk about yet. But the plan is to be kind of the hardware hub for different innovation. And then we also have, you know, hardware engineers full time that can be you know, providing these prototypes. And we'll see. We're fully focusing on the mask, fulfilling the orders, and you know, working on the next iteration of the mask as well. But we really see ourselves in the hardware house for different innovations. Yeah. All involved in analyzing biological signals. So whether it's sleep or your breathing, all that kind of stuff, that's from hardware.
I see. So the reason that you have the mask separately branded from your company, I assumed, was that you have a vision for your company to keep going beyond the mask, right?
Correct. We would like that this week.
Yeah. So if someone listening wants to get a hold of this mask, what is the best way to do so?
Sure. So right now, website is the best way. Probably by next week, we should be on Amazon. So you can you'll be able to find it on Amazon in the U.S. Japan, we'll be entering Rakuten, so one of their top e-commerce sites. Probably the website, neuron.com with double O. You can find it and, you know, select your country. The shipping is adjusted to where you are geographically.
Yeah, I will leave a link to the website in the show notes as well. And if someone wants to get in touch with you, Tomas, what is the best way to do it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Email is the easiest way. So it's Tomas, T-O-M-A-S-Z, at IntelliClinic.com. So we're actually not Intel Clinic, but IntelliClinic, so Intelligent Clinic.
Oh, okay.
We got in trouble with Intel at the very beginning.
It's a double L-I or single L-I? I'll leave it in the show notes.
Singular. So IntelliClinic, Intelligent Clinic.
Got it.
And Tomas, TOMASC@intelliclinic.com.
I will leave that in the show notes as well. Anything else you want to mention before we close out here?
No, it's been exciting and good talking to you. I'm glad we connected. And best of luck to all the foreign entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tomas, for your time here.
Absolutely. Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in. To get updates on latest episodes, make sure you subscribe with your email by going over to breakingtheborders.com. If you know anyone good as a guest, shoot me an email. I will reach out to the guest, get hold of them, and ask them all the questions that you have. My email is rohit@breakingtheborders.com. Thanks again and have an amazing day.